Adventure Box presents Nathan's Secret, written by Marie Le Cousiat, illustrated by Aurélie Gand. Chapter 1. A bad start to the day.
I loved it when my mother opened my bedroom door to wake me up. There was always a great smell of toast and hot chocolate for breakfast. But one morning, like almost every morning, I woke up and immediately realized that I was all wet. It was really embarrassing to be 8 years old and still wetting the bed. I felt like I was a baby, or like there was something wrong with me. My mother told me again and again that there was nothing wrong with me, and she tried to reassure me that it would not go on forever. But there were days when I just wanted to be someone else. Just as I walked out of my room, my little brother came to say good morning. He was 4 years old, and he hadn't wet his bed for ages. It was so unfair. I pushed him away roughly with my hand. He made a big deal of it and burst into tears. My father saw me push my brother. He shouted, "Nathan, what has got into you?" I grumbled, "It's all his fault. He sticks to me like glue all the time." It was true. Why did my brother always have to come and cling on to me every morning? I didn't want him to notice that I smelled of wee, so I had no choice but to push him away. In the end, he would understand that I didn't want anyone near me when I smelled bad. I went to shut myself in the bathroom. I slammed the door, which was a signal that I wanted to be left in peace. I took off my horrible wet pajamas. I looked at myself in the mirror, and I immediately began to cry. After my shower, I quickly swallowed a slice of bread and jam and a glass of milk and tried not to look at my parents. As I left the house, I murmured, "See you this evening." On the road up to school, Simon ran up behind me. He and I had been best friends since the first day of nursery school. He lived in the block of flats next to mine, and we went to school together every day. The first one outside always waited for the other one. But that morning, I didn't really want to talk to Simon, so I speeded up. "Hey, Nathan!" he shouted. "Wait for me!" I kept my head down. I felt a mixture of anger and sadness that made me hate everyone. Simon caught up with me and said in a cheerful voice, "So, I guess you are in a hurry, because today is the big day." I mumbled, "What are you talking about?" I pretended I had forgotten that I was going to ask Roxanne if she wanted to be my friend. I had always liked Roxanne. She was the kindest girl I knew, and she had a nice smile. But suddenly, I wondered who would want a friend that still wet the bed. Simon went on, "So, are you going to tell her?" "Leave me alone," I said in an irritated voice. I immediately regretted speaking to him like that. My best friend was surprised and he said, "What's wrong with you?" Simon's voice sounded a little sad. I felt like I was going to cry, but I didn't really want to explain to him what was troubling me. I walked even faster and called to him, "What's wrong with me? Is that I want everyone to leave me alone." Simon did not reply. He left me to walk the rest of the way on my own. To be honest, I would have done the same if I had been him. Chapter 2. Angry. When I got to school, I could see Simon crossing the road to go and join the twins, Anthony and Victor. I had to hold back my tears again. It was only 8:35. It was going to be a long day. Roxanne came over to say hi to me in the playground. I blushed, as I did every time she spoke to me. That made me feel even more useless, not what I needed at that moment. In the distance, Simon was watching me speaking to Roxanne. He was tight-lipped and frowning. I'd never seen him look cross like that before. Things had to be really bad to make Simon angry. I had been really unfair, but it was not easy to apologise to him so soon. Roxanne looked at me and asked, "Are you okay?"
"Yes."
"I was lying, of course," she went on. "We're going to do our free writing in a bit. Do you know what you're going to write about?"
Uh-oh, I had completely forgotten. I hadn't even thought about it. It really wasn't my day.
Roxanne said with a nice smile, "I am going to write a poem."
I was too embarrassed to say anything. I just stood there in front of her, feeling like a fool. In the distance, I saw Anthony and Victor laughing. Simon started laughing with them, and that made me really angry. I thought they were making fun of me. I rushed over to them and pushed the twins so hard that they fell over. Then I turned to look at Simon. He took a step back as if he was scared of me. I asked him, "Why are you looking at me like that?" And then I pushed my best friend too. Simon didn't say anything, but he had tears in his eyes. I felt horrible. Mrs. Robinson, our teacher, came running over. She shouted, "Nathan, what's going on?" I felt like crying again, but instead I did something terrible. I yelled at the teacher, "Leave me alone!" Chapter 3. All Alone. Mrs. Robinson asked me to wait for her in the library while the others went back into the classroom. I wanted to disappear. It is strange that when we're not feeling good, we hurt the people we love the most. That morning when I woke, it was my little brother, then Simon, and now Mrs. Robinson. I think I wanted to let them know that I was not feeling good, but obviously I was not letting them know in the right way. A few minutes later, when the teacher joined me, my heart was beating really fast. She asked me, "Can you tell me what is wrong, Nathan?" I murmured, "I'm sorry."
"It's good to say sorry," said Mrs. Robinson in a gentle voice. "But that is not what I asked you."
"It's because I have been feeling annoyed since this morning," I said. I couldn't manage any more.
The teacher asked me in a calm voice, "Annoyed about what?"
I really wanted to explain to her, but I was scared of telling her my secret. If she knew that I still wet the bed, maybe she wouldn't like me any more. So I didn't say anything, and I just shrugged my shoulders instead.
"Okay, so you are annoyed," said Mrs. Robinson. "But you have no right to take it out on other people, not on your friends, and not on me. Do you understand?"
I nodded my head. The teacher added,
"Off you go and join the others."
When I got back to the classroom, the others were in little groups, whispering. I went and sat down in my place next to Simon. Everyone was looking at me, except him. I took my things out of my school bag and had decided that the rest of the day was going to go well.
The teacher said, "Children, this morning you are going to do free writing, and we can read what you write after break. You can work in pairs if you like, and work quietly and calmly, please."
I turned to look at Simon, but he ignored me. Just when I had managed to calm down, Simon was in a mood with me. I was really disappointed. I would just have to find something to write about by myself. After a few minutes, Simon went over to join Timothy. Then I noticed Roxanne talking quietly to Lisa. Anthony and Victor were doing their writing together, of course.
Everyone was getting into pairs. It was hard to admit it, but I understood why nobody wanted to work with me. I was alone, and it was my fault.
Chapter 4. Friendship Bench.
I took a deep breath and held back my tears. Mrs. Robinson gave me an encouraging wink. I smiled back at her, and suddenly I felt better. At that very moment, I had an idea for what I was going to write about. It was so obvious. I couldn't bear to keep my secret to myself any longer. It was making me and everyone else unhappy. I decided I would tell Simon. The idea of telling him everything scared me, of course, but it couldn't be worse than losing the best friend I had ever had. I started writing and I didn't stop. The words seemed to flow all by themselves, filling up my sheets of white paper. As I wrote, I began to feel free of that huge weight. When the break time bell rang, Mrs. Robinson must have asked me 3 times to go outside, but I was too busy writing my story to notice.
"Come on now," she said gently. "Go and get some air. It will do you good."
I went down the stairs. My heart was beating fast. I walked round the playground for a while, and then I went and sat on the friendship bench. The bench was Mrs. Robinson's idea. We all helped to paint it different colours. When someone was feeling lonely or sad, they could sit on the bench and other children would come and talk to them and try to understand what was wrong. I glanced secretly at Simon, hoping that my best friend would come and join me. But he didn't seem to be thinking about me at all. I saw him swapping cards with Anthony and Victor, and that made me feel really sad, because Simon usually showed me his cards before offering them to the others. Roxanne and Lisa came and sat next to me, but I hardly noticed them. I was too busy watching Simon. Roxanne asked me, "What's up with you today?" I sat there squirming and said, "Nothing much." Lisa said in a surprised voice, "So, why did you come and sit on the friendship bench then?" I told another lie. "I don't know." Simon was glaring at me from the other side of the playground.
"Okay, shall we go then?" asked Roxanne as Lisa pulled at her sleeve to tell her to forget it.
"Yeah, sure," I said vaguely, without even looking at her. All my attention was focused on my best friend. Break time seemed endless to me. Of course, Simon did not come and sit with me on the friendship bench, and I went back up to the classroom as alone as I had been before break time.
Chapter 5. 1-1.
I walked back into the classroom and stopped by Mrs. Robinson's desk because I needed her help. I had decided to read out what I had written, but not in front of everyone. Anyway, Mrs. Robinson never forced anyone to do that. We could read our free writing in front of the class, ask someone else to read it out, read it quietly to a friend, or even keep it a secret. With Mrs. Robinson, everything was possible. Mrs. Robinson saw me and smiled.
"I'm listening, Nathan."
"I would like to read my text to Simon over there," I said, pointing to a quiet corner of the classroom. I imagined Simon and me sitting cross-legged on the thick rug, hidden from the others behind the big cupboard. I said anxiously, "I don't know if he will agree to it." Mrs. Robinson gave me a knowing look. She understood immediately why it was so important for me to read my essay to my best friend. She seemed to have guessed that it was essential, as if she could read my thoughts. She asked me to go back to my seat. I walked back to my chair, feeling as if my legs might give way. Simon still would not look at me. The teacher said, "Calm down now, everyone. You can either carry on writing your essay or read it out in a quiet voice to a friend. We will read some of them out loud this afternoon." She turned to me and said, "Simon, Nathan, come with me." Simon frowned. Then he looked at me in surprise. I shrugged my shoulders, pretending I didn't know what was going on. I quickly grabbed my essay that I had hidden under my desk. The teacher suggested that we go and sit on the rug. She said to Simon, "Simon, I think Nathan has something to read to you." We sat down on the rug, just him and me. Mrs. Robinson slipped away quietly, leaving us alone. I unfolded my paper, took a deep breath, and began. Chapter 6, Just Like Before. I read my essay. It was all in there. Wet nights, my rage, all the specialists I had been to see, the fact that I was feeling fed up, and why I refused invitations to sleep over at friends' houses, even at Simon's, in case anyone found out my secret. I also talked about my uncle, who had had the same problem as me when he was little. I mentioned that I wanted to be like everyone else, and that it made me feel sad, disgusted, and ashamed. When I had finished reading, I could feel tears in my eyes. After a few seconds that felt like hours, I finally dared to look up at Simon. My friend said in a shaky voice, "But why didn't you tell me before? You are my best friend, Nathan. This doesn't change anything for me." He gave me a big hug. I felt so happy. I think it was one of the best moments of my life. Then Simon whispered in my ear, "Can you keep a secret?" I said, "Of course. I sleep with the light on in the corridor every night because I'm scared of the dark." I hugged him a bit tighter, and I felt like everything was going back to how it was before. Mrs. Robinson popped her head around the cupboard. I winked at her, and she smiled at me. She really was the best teacher in the world. The rest of the day went really well. I felt so much happier. In the afternoon, Roxanne read out her poem to the class. It was brilliant. Everyone clapped, and I wondered to myself whether she had been thinking about me when she wrote it. After school, on the road down to where we lived, Simon nudged me and asked, "What about Roxanne?" "I'll talk to her tomorrow," I said, putting my arm around his neck. Then Simon suggested, "Would you like to come to mine for a sleepover on Saturday?" I smiled. Now that he knew, I could accept. I was bursting with happiness. I shouted, "Yes! I'll bring my sleeping bag." "And we can leave the light on," said Simon, putting his arm around my neck. My friend and I had always shared our snacks, but on that day we shared a lot more. It was a day I would never forget. The end.